This is Jay Sekulow. The poll indicates that health care law support is at its all-time low, and I'm going to give you an update on our cases against Planned Parenthood.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And one more misunderstanding I want to clear up. Under our plan, no federal dollars will be used to fund abortions, and federal conscience laws will remain in place.
By the way, you know what? Let me tell you. I have no problem with folks saying Obama cares. I do care. If the other side wants to be the folks who don't care, that's fine with me.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. I thought it'd be good as we kind of wrap up the week here to give you an overview of what we've been able to accomplish, what the goals are ahead, and now we know for sure that the Supreme Court is going to be at least having the case, what's called in conference, involving the health care bill at November 10th at the conference. Then we'll probably get a decision whether the court will hear the case on November 14th. Interesting poll comes out today where it shows that a majority of Americans, for the first time, 51%, said that they have an unfavorable view of the Obamacare legislation. Now, Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs in Washington, D.C., Than, you're not surprised at this, nor am I, because as we've been dealing with members of Congress, and by the way, 105 members of Congress on this brief to the Supreme Court of the United States, pretty impressive to say the least, over 40,000 Americans, and we're going to let you be the last day to add your name to that committee will be today. But the Congress knows that as they're campaigning that this is an unpopular piece of legislation that's having significant economic consequences.
Yeah, Jay, Obamacare has always been unpopular with the American people, but that is spreading to members of Congress now. You know, only 34% in this new poll actually like the bill. Only about 27% of Democrats think that they're better off with it. And I actually think those Democrat numbers, Jay, are the most significant here because you're starting to see the people that initially supported the bill now peeling back from it. And there's no accident. The reason for it is exactly what you and I have said from the very beginning. It's that the economics of it can't be sustained. And now, even before full implementation, even the Democrats are realizing that. Even Democrats are no longer supporting the bill.
So you've got a situation that's developed, folks, where we now have one recourse and really one recourse only, and that is to go after this at the Supreme Court of the United States. There are five cases up there, another one coming, and then ours coming as well. We have a major challenge out of the D.C. Circuit, but in the interim, we didn't just sit back on our one case. Your American Center for Law and Justice and our legal team put together a brief to the Supreme Court of the United States, as I said, unprecedented really in our history. 105 members of the United States Congress, including a lot of the leadership of the Congress, as well as over 40,000 of our members of the American Center for Law and Justice, the ACLJ, signed on to this brief. Now, what we're doing is urging the Supreme Court of the United States to actually hear the case. So that is focus number one that we're really focusing on very, very directly. Next will be, of course, if the court decides they are going to hear, and it's almost, I'm pretty optimistic they're going to. I don't take anything for granted in these cases, but I'm optimistic that they're going to. Then the question will be, can we get the law struck as unconstitutional? But the first order of business, as is always the case here, is to make sure the court actually hears the case. Now, on the broadcast today, next segment of the broadcast, we're going to have Frank Mannion, Senior Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, because, again, the ACLJ front and center, fighting Planned Parenthood directly in federal court in California and in Texas. We've got a very interesting report for you on that. In the third segment of the broadcast, I was on Sean Hannity's television broadcast last night debating one of the Muslim leaders on the issue of should a historic Catholic university be required to remove crucifixes and pictures of Jesus because it was offensive to Muslim students during prayer time. We're going to get into that in the third segment of the broadcast. All right, folks, here's what we're going to do. This is the last day. This is it. Let's make it official. I want you to become really part of history here. You go to your phones right now at 877-989-2255, and you sign on to this committee that's filed this brief with the Supreme Court of the United States. Here is the number again, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, and you're signing on to a committee that is going to be filing this brief with the Supreme Court of the United States again, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org, and we've got a host of information posted on the aclj.org website, which includes updates on not only these pro-life cases, but cases around the globe. And we appreciate your financial support to the ACLJ. It's tax deductible at aclj.org.
It's a new battle, a new legal fight. This time, the focus on the Supreme Court of the United States. The issue, Obamacare, the pro-abortion, government-run health care law that a clear majority of Americans oppose. The American Center for Law and Justice has been at the forefront, challenging the constitutionality of Obamacare, backing legal challenges by Virginia and Florida, and taking our own action. Our federal lawsuit now pending before a federal appeals court. While thousands of you have already expressed opposition to Obamacare, we are now entering a critical new phase, convincing the Supreme Court to take up the challenge and declare this pro-abortion health care law unconstitutional once and for all. We need to hear from you now. Sign on to our new committee and become part of our legal briefs being filed at the Supreme Court. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Seculo brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Seculo is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on ACLJ.org. For more information, go to JordanSeculo.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to be giving you an update on cases we have against Planned Parenthood. And joining us in a few moments is going to be a senior counsel for the ACLJ, Frank Mannion, who's leading the charge on both the case that we have against Planned Parenthood in California and now in Texas. Two pieces of major litigation against Planned Parenthood. Of course, as we reported on the broadcast yesterday in New York, we've been fighting back NARAL. That's the other big abortion rights group and their attempt to close down crisis pregnancy centers. I'm happy to report we got a preliminary injunction stopping the enforcement of a law that would have stopped these pro-life pregnancy centers from operating. So some good news there. That's now going to the Court of Appeals. An interesting statement. The House Democrats want Republicans to stop saying the phrase Obamacare. They're arguing that is a derogatory term. The House Democrats want to ban the term from mailers sent from congressional offices. So the Democrats are saying stop calling this Obamacare. But the President of the United States, President Obama, had a very different take. Listen to what he said.
Prescription drug program that now is part of Medicare obviously has been very helpful, but the costs had been going up and up and up. So part of the Affordable Care Act, health care reform, also known as Obamacare. By the way, you know what? Let me tell you. I have no problem with folks saying Obama cares. I do care.
If the other side, the President of the United States didn't seem to care, but it's bothering the House Democrats. That's because politically, Than, they know this is a very difficult issue for them.
Yeah, you know what I think is interesting about this, Jay, is when the president's numbers were up, when he was popular, the Democrats were fine with calling it Obamacare. But now that the president's numbers are in the tank and they have to face reelection, they don't want to be associated with him. So they want to be associated with, you know, universal health care, not Obamacare. But listen, it's all part of this trend away from the bill. The American people don't like the bill. The Democrats that supported the bill are now having to run for reelection. And so they don't want to be associated with it. That's what I think is behind it.
I think you're absolutely right. Folks, here's what we want you to do. Here's the number. Sign on to that brief. This is the last day to join that committee. File that brief at the Supreme Court of the United States. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. But again, let me encourage you, 877-989-2255 to sign on to that brief. And you can also get our DVD, full-length documentary film called Choosing Life. Well, talking about choosing life, one of the aspects of what we do is go after Planned Parenthood where we think they're taking abuse, which is their entire operation, in our view, because we take a consistent pro-life position. And no matter what Planned Parenthood wants to say, they are in the business of abortion. As my friend Pat Monahan says, they actually worship at the altar of abortion. That is their reason for existence. Frank Mannion, senior counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, the ACLJ, is with us. Frank has been leading the charge on our cases on this challenge to Planned Parenthood. Frank, let's get an update, and I think first it's important to set the stage as to what exactly we're challenging. in California, now in Texas as well.
That's right, Jay. We've got two very massive pieces of litigation going on against Planned Parenthood under the False Claims Act. What we're alleging, both in California and now in Texas as well, is that Planned Parenthood, in addition to the $350 million or so that they get a year from the federal government, was also looting the public treasury of hundreds of millions of more dollars through fraudulent schemes of overbilling, duplicate billing, billing for services that they never did or that were totally unnecessary. We've gotten information from insiders, what they call whistleblowers in the law, who have come to us and said, I was on the inside, I know what was going on, and based on what they've told us, we have filed these two lawsuits, the first one in California in Los Angeles and the second one in Houston, Texas. We're going full speed ahead on these. We've uncovered, not only through these whistleblowers, but backed up now by the tens of thousands of document pages that we're beginning to get and analyze, proof that Planned Parenthood was really looting the taxpayers' treasury through these schemes. And
you know,
federal false
it's interesting, Frank, as we talk about the monetary issues with Planned Parenthood, it was reported yesterday that Planned Parenthood has hired one of the President Obama's senior advisors. And this is what they said in their press release in talking about Singster. That's the person that they hired. They said, Singster has been with President Obama since his first day in office. She was a key part of the legislative team that helped pass the historic health care reform law that strengthens women's health, expands access to health care for millions, protects women against gender discrimination. We know what that means, by the way, and requires insurance companies to cover preventative care with no copays. Planned Parenthood are the business of abortion, Frank. The president is in favor of Planned Parenthood. He always says, I'm going to stand with Planned Parenthood. And now we've got this challenge. And again, let's focus like a laser beam here. Frank, this is a situation where the taxpayers are being fleeced by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, basically what they did was they discovered that they could overbill, bill for things they didn't do, and get away with it. And their whole rationale seems to be, we know what we're doing is not permitted by the law or regulations, but let's see how long we can get away with it. And they got away with it in California for about 7 years before our client blew the whistle on them and eventually came to us, and now we've got them in federal court there. And the similar thing in Texas, where an insider worked for them for almost 10 years, I think, blew the whistle on them. And they just have this sort of arrogance, and you can tell. I mean, they've got those political connections, as you mentioned, and President Obama has been totally committed to them throughout his political career. But fortunately, we have this Federal False Claims Act that allows private citizens to take them into court, whether the government is interested in doing it or not, and try to recover money that they've stolen over the years. And that's what we're doing.
And we're really going after, this is the heart and soul of Planned Parenthood. It's called their finances.
Exactly.
And I want people to understand that we're going after the pocketbook of Planned Parenthood. They've certainly been taking it from the American people, and we're coming back very strong and very aggressively here. Now, we've had a major victory in California, Frank, at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. That was a major win where we overturned the district court judge, and now the case is in discovery. What's the process of where we are in California? And then I want to move to Texas because, sure, folks, you got to understand, this is massive litigation. We've got 4, 5, 6 lawyers working on these cases at any given time. This is massive litigation directly against Planned Parenthood. So we're in federal court against Planned Parenthood. What's the stage in California right now? Where are we?
In California, they have, after the case was remanded from the Ninth Circuit and was revived in layman's terms, they've made 4 motions to dismiss the case. And each time, they get rebuffed by the court, but it takes some, you know, it takes some time and effort to rebuff each one of these things, and that's what we're doing in California. We're waiting for the green light there again for the 4th time. We expect to get it any day, and we're ready to go there. In Texas, we're actually moving ahead of the California case. You can't predict these things, obviously. In Texas, we're already in the discovery process. We're already getting the documents. We're already beginning to analyze them. We met with some experts the other day to go through them. And what they told us was the records that we're looking at confirm what our client has been saying. This is a massive scheme of fraud to see how much they could steal from the taxpayer for how long they could get away with it. And now it's time we're calling them on the carpet about it.
I want people to understand that are listening to this broadcast, your support of the work of the ACLJ enables me and Frank and a whole host of other lawyers, many of which you've heard on this broadcast, go to court and litigate at the Supreme Court of the United States, at the District Court against Planned Parenthood, at the Court of Appeals against Planned Parenthood, and again, in courts around the world. But we're right now focusing on the life issue, and look what we've seen accomplished. Now, folks, we filed a brief with the Supreme Court of the United States urging them to hear the case against Obamacare. That is the biggest funding of abortion in our lifetime. It's another one of these just, you know, grants to the Planned Parenthood and other groups that can set up clinics in every school in America. If you're sick of that and you want the Supreme Court of the United States to actually hear the case, then I need you to sign on to this committee because there's going to be a series of briefs. This is the last day for you to do it. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255. Or, of course, you can go to aclj.org. But, again, 877-989-2255 to have your voice heard, folks, at the Supreme Court of the United States. And you're going to be joining with 105 members of Congress. Frank, and now we've got the California, we've got the Texas cases. These are major cases. The impact of these are really significant, but we need to let everybody understand that Planned Parenthood and these other groups are fighting back aggressive here because they know they've got vulnerability.
That's right, Jay. In both of these cases, we're up against some of the largest law firms in the country, California and in Texas. They've gone out and hired the most expensive, basically the blue chip law firms that they can get to defend them. But that's fine with us. You know, we'll take them on too, and we're happy to do it. But obviously, folks need to support us in order to be able to keep us going on these things.
All right, Frank Mannion's a senior counsel for the ACLJ. And Frank, thanks for your hard work and the work of your team, Ed White, Jeff Surtees, and others. I mean, there's so many on this case that are working. This is a big, big case involving Planned Parenthood, two of them in federal court representing you and making sure that we are bringing it right to where it hurts with Planned Parenthood, and that is their pocketbook. So these are as direct challenges as you can get, and we are in federal court on those right now. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate the update. Very good. Folks, here's what I want you to do. You heard from Frank Mannion. I want you to do something. Many of you go to the website and check out aclj.org, or you get our emails. I encourage you, sign up for our email alerts so you know what's going on these cases. Sign up for our Twitter. Go to our Facebook for American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ's Facebook. You can do all of that by going to the homepage of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And when you're at the homepage, I want you to do me a favor. We're getting ready to get into our matching challenge. It starts next week. But I want to encourage you to go and make an online donation to the ACLJ to help us in these cases against Planned Parenthood. It's tax deductible. You go right to the website at aclj.org. It is that easy. And again, sign up for Twitter. I have a Twitter account. Jordan has a Twitter account. We've got our Facebook accounts. You need to get this information. Go to aclj.org. Or you can simply go to the phones right now, sign on to that committee to stand with us for our brief to the Supreme Court of the United States to make them hear and request that they hear the health care challenge that we've and others have made. Here is the number. It's 877-989-2255. You sign on to that committee, 877-989-2255. Or you can sign on simply by going to aclj.org. So that's 877-989-2255. Or simply go to aclj.org, and you can sign up online as well, or call us, 877-989-2255. When we come back, focus on a religious liberty issue at Catholic University.
The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Seculo brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Seculo is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on aclj.org. For more information, go to jordanseculo.com. It's a new battle, a new legal fight. This time, the focus on the Supreme Court of the United States. The issue, Obamacare, the pro-abortion, government-run health care law that a clear majority of Americans oppose. The American Center for Law and Justice has been at the forefront, challenging the constitutionality of Obamacare, backing legal challenges by Virginia and Florida, and taking our own action. Our federal lawsuit now pending before a federal appeals court. While thousands of you have already expressed opposition to Obamacare, Obamacare, we are now entering a critical new phase, convincing the Supreme Court to take up the challenge and declare this pro-abortion health care law unconstitutional once and for all. We need to hear from you now. Sign on to our new committee and become part of our legal briefs being filed at the Supreme Court. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to be changing our topic a little bit. I was on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast yesterday evening. The issue that I was dealing with was this challenge by Muslim student group at Catholic University. They want a Catholic university to provide a prayer room that would be free of crucifixes and pictures of Jesus. No cross, no picture of Jesus. And they're demanding the Human Rights Council for the District of Columbia to investigate. We took a look at this and discussed this on Sean Hannity's program last night. Let's take a listen.
Is it a holy war that is being waged in our nation's capital? Now, Muslim students are complaining that the Catholic university is, well, too Catholic. Now, the official charges state that the school does not, quote, provide space, as other universities do, for the many daily prayers that Muslim students must make, forcing them instead to find temporarily empty classrooms where they are often surrounded by Catholic symbols, which are incongruous to their religion. Imagine that, Catholic symbols on the walls of a Catholic university. Now, a university spokesman responded to the charges by insisting that, quote, our faithfulness to our Catholic tradition has also made us a welcome home to students of other religions. Now, no students have registered complaints about the exercise of their religions on our campus. We have not seen any legal filing and will respond to them if we do. Now, the D.C. Office of Human Rights is now investigating the charges, but is this what our nation has now come to? A private Catholic university doesn't even have the right to be Catholic anymore? Joining me with reaction from the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, and independent Muslim activist, former director of the Human Rights Department of the Muslim American Society Freedom, Ibrahim Raimi is with us. Ibrahim, let me start with you. All right, this is a private college. Catholic college. They accept Muslim students. They accept people of other faiths. In their classrooms, they have a crucifix, which shouldn't surprise anybody. I went to Catholic schools for 12 years. in their schools, they have pictures of Jesus. Tell me what the problem here is.
Well, the issue really isn't the iconography of Jesus or crucifixes in the classroom. There are really two questions, and one is whether or not Muslim students can be accommodated in terms of a place to pray.
At a Catholic university, they've got to accommodate Islam at a private Catholic university. How about this? How about if they don't like the traditions of the school, and the school is generous enough to let people in of other faiths, how about if you want to pray, close your eyes and pray? And if you want
to pray,
if you want to pray to Allah,
just across the city, Sean, it's not a question of the right of the university to be Catholic. Absolutely, it is a Catholic university. The question is, if it is reasonably accommodating to other people,
can Muslims pray in a place? All right, I'm going to go to Saudi Arabia tomorrow, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk into a mosque and say, can I have a private room to put up a picture of Jesus and a cross? Will that work out for me in Saudi Arabia or any Muslim country?
Not too good.
Hey, we're having a conversation about America, Sean. Don't get it twisted.
Well, let's have a conversation about the Constitution of the United States. There is no requirement in the Constitution that can compel a Catholic university or any institution, for that matter, with a faith-based connection to change its doctrines, its practices, or its procedures and beliefs to accommodate a student of another faith. That would be like telling Yeshiva University in New York that might admit students from a variety of faiths that, hey, we want you to take down the Star of David and the mezuzah on the doorway because we're offended by it during our prayer time. You know what the answer to that is? Tough luck. Don't go to school there. There's nothing in the Constitution or in human rights laws that can compel a religious institution to change its mission or practices simply because student disagrees with it.
Let me ask you one question.
The answer is go someplace else. Sure.
So
sure.
Do they even have to accept people that are not Catholic at a private Catholic institution?
Of course not.
I don't think
there's a level of tolerance
there. Hold it. He asked me the question. Of course, they could actually say, that you have to subscribe to a mission statement in order to attend our university, which would be in compliance with Catholic teaching and Catholic doctrine. They have the right to say that. Here, you know what's basically happening? Catholic university is being penalized by the Muslim student groups because they're being compliant.
Absolutely
they're
not.
Actually allowing students of other, hold it, yes it is, because give me a
Absolutely
legal basis
not.
Under the Constitution
You're
where you can compel
issue,
that university to take that crucifix down. Tell me where it is. Tell me where
twisted.
It is. Where's the constitutional authority for you to
answer.
Tell that university, take it down?
I'm not arguing the Constitution of the United States of America. What I'm simply saying is that,
well, that's what it governs these things.
There is a better way and a more civil way and, in fact, a more accommodating way for Muslim students to be able to pray at Catholic University as they do at Georgetown. As they do at Boston College, another Catholic institution, and it doesn't challenge the Catholic institution in the least.
If the Catholic institution is letting people of all faiths in, and it's a Catholic institution, it seems to me that there ought to be, there's accommodation right there in and of itself, private university. So if kids are that uncomfortable, go to another school. If you don't like a picture of Jesus and a crucifix
right.
in a Catholic school, don't go to the school. Nobody's forcing you to go to the school.
But
don't put this school in a position to change who they are to accommodate a faith that they don't even agree with.
There is nothing
about Let me ask you this. Would a Muslim university, you know, here's what it is. Would a Muslim-based, a faith-based university of the Muslim faith allow, if a Jewish student group was allowed to go there, Jewish students were allowed in this Muslim university, do you think the Muslim university can be compelled to take down their symbolism and put up a Star of David?
I don't think that's the issue, and I think you're twisting the issue.
Why not accommodate the Jewish students at a Muslim school? Put up the Star of David.
Why not?
If Jewish students wanted to worship in a space that required, first of all, there are no
Muslim
icons
university.
In the Muslim religion that we bow down to. If Jewish students want to worship
but
in
they
a place.
But they want to put up a Star of David to show their faith. It's not going to interfere with anything. They want to put a Star of David up. Can those student groups demand
in
and compel a Muslim-based university to do that?
I would argue that in a place of prayer that does not allow for the iconography of another religion, it's perfectly okay to have that. And what the Muslim students wanted at Catholic University, two things. Number one, they want a place to pray that doesn't have the icons.
Number two, they want to be able to have a Muslim university is not letting the student groups. First of all, the Muslim university is not going to let the Jewish students in. But if they did,
you
can bet. I can assure you they're not putting a Star of David on the.
You can't assure me of anything,
will you name one where they are? Name me one where they are.
Well, there are no Muslim universities in the United States that are not privately owned and specifically
for the United States.
Catholic University is privately owned. Yeshiva University is privately owned. You know, you don't get to have two different rules here. That's not the way it works.
We're not arguing two different rules. We're simply saying.
Thanks, Sean.
We're just out of time. Appreciate you being with us.
Fascinating debate, fascinating topic. We're monitoring it, of course, at the ACLJ. But, folks, I want to encourage you to do a couple of things today. Number one, get information, get informed. Next week, we're going to be talking about some other major cases and some direct action. There could be some movement, by the way, at the United Nations with regard to the Palestinian Authority's request for statehood. Could be voted on as early as November 11th. So we are looking at that very aggressively. Our team in New York working on that, as well as our team in Strasbourg, France. So we'll keep you posted there. But what I want you to do is become a part of our team here at the ACLJ. As we end the week up and get ready to end the month, I want to end that month on a positive note. You heard from Frank Mannion, all these cases we're litigating here in the United States and around the globe. We could use your help. There's an easy way for you to support the work of the ACLJ. Just go to aclj.org. Make an online contribution to the ACLJ. It's tax deductible, and it goes right to work in our offices in Washington, D.C., and literally around the globe. So I want to encourage you, aclj.org. To make an online donation, you can help us end this month strong. We've had a great month, but you can make it even better to make us available to go to courts around the country. ACLJ.org. Now, this is it, folks. Last time for you to sign on to this brief to the committee to the Supreme Court of the United States on Obamacare. Here's the number. This is it. Make a stand. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Sekulow Show. Jordan Sekulow provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordansekulow.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Sekulow Show via email, info@sekulow.com.